Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 182. The Presentation Summit is billed as an event for presentation professionals. Troy, Nolan, and Sandy have the opportunity to talk to the event director, Rick Altman, about this year's event. We discover what Animal Nolan is, and a great registration promo code is released. Let's join the conversation.
Hi, this is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in blazingly hot Montclair, New Jersey.
Ah.
Oh, we didn't do weather reports. Because it's actually cool in Southern California.
We're getting back into the normal weather, but not here. It's super hot right now. All right, we've got some news coming up and events and trainings. Creative Pro 2024, that's a long ways away. It's next July, I think, next summer. Registration is open for that. It's going to be in DC again. It was there a couple years ago. So early registration, you get some early discounts for that as well. So Creative Pro 2024 week, that's open. Also, I'm going to be giving a presentation, a free webinar called PowerPoint Charts That Stand Out. That's going to be for Training Magazine Network. And that is coming up soon. I'm just looking at the calendar on that. That is September 19th. And again, totally free. Even if you miss it, register anyway, because you can watch it in replay. Sandy, what have you got?
Well, excellent, Nolan. Just in time for today's episode, the Presentation Summit, the virtual edition that will be occurring in November, is offering a promotion code. You can bring a guest, and that second attendee will be able to register at the low, low fee of $95. Standard, by the way, is $595. To get this promotion, just enter the code 95SPECIAL. That's 95SPECIAL.
That's a huge deal. Partner up with somebody.
That's like huge.
I mean, it's the virtual edition, so we're not going to be all together. I would love to see everybody out there, but that's a massive one. That's probably okay. What else you got, Nolan? What other news is in this? Well, actually, before we go
over to you,
the Presentation Summit's coming up, everybody. We're not going to announce it further. Stand by. That's our entire conversation today. Other news, Nolan.
That's what I got, Troy. What do you have?
I've got Cameo, PowerPoint Cameo, which I know will be covered at the Presentation Summit. They've just in the past few weeks, I'll say, done a kind of a major. They've done an upgrade, a release of new feature set. And it's a lot of enhancements more than functionality. The camera preview, you can turn it on and off during slideshow. Really cool feature. It was just missing before. Kind of a design redesign of the bar and a lot of the icons. A little more consistent. So if it looks a little different, it's been refreshed. The one I like is personalized. What they're calling personalized Cameo styles. So if you, and this works great, but then it doesn't work depending on how you want to utilize it. But you take your camera preview. So, it's an object. It's called the Cameo object. And you stylize it. Say you add an outline to it, a drop shadow, this, that, and the other. What there is now is there's a one-button way to apply that styling to all the Cameo objects throughout the entire presentation. Like I said, it's awesome. Until you don't want that styling on one of them, but it's kind of an all or none type of functionality at this point. So Cameo, it's had a few updates and improvements, and kind of excited to see things continuing on. What else we got?
I had the opportunity to sit down with Maurizio Lacava. He is the CEO and co-founder of MLC Presentation Design Consulting and the author of Lean Presentation Design. The summary talks about how you can efficiently spread impactful ideas, sustain high audience engagement, and create visually compelling presentations. Maurizio and I sat down for about an hour, talked about our passions in presentation design and our concerns, and it happens to be on YouTube. I'll put a link to the YouTube video in the show notes. You can also find it under my profile in LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Was this like an interview?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I thought you just said like, hey, I got to meet this guy. But no, this is like a, something we get to experience. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was really wonderful. Really great guy, and grateful to have been a part of the discussion.
Where will you be October 15th to 18th of this year? It's coming up soon, and I know many listeners will be on the Pacific Ocean coast exploring new waters as part of, well, the elite group attending the 2023 Presentation Summit. World-class instruction, inspiring keynotes, community learning, unparalleled networking, lifelong bonding. Hey, those aren't my words. Those are emblazoned on the Presentation Summit website. I agree with all of them. Today, we have an hour of Rick Altman's time, the founder and director of the Presentation Summit. This is a busy person because we're only weeks out from the main annual event, and he's just returned to the country from a globetrotting adventure with his spouse, Becky. I know they have a remodeled backyard that was also done, and they're actually planning two summit events. So for us to get this time together, I'm really thankful, and we're going to talk all about what is going to happen at the Presentation Summit.
Well, sorry, guys. I got to go. I got too much stuff going on.
Well, that's reminded him.
It's so awesome to have you back, Rick. I know we've done this before, and that's because what? The Presentation Summit's going on 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Many of our listeners are aware of that. They know the story, but let's back up a little. Tell us about how this came to be and how much it's evolved over the years.
And how you made it to 21, finally
and,
legal.
And how much time do I have for this?
Oh, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You want me to do summary. 21 years in 2 minutes?
All yes, right. You can do it. That?
Like 6 seconds per year, huh? Okay. Well, here's what I would say. Because in many ways, the situation back in 2003 when we started hasn't really changed all that much from where we are now in 2023. Mm. You know, your audience members, they do not make decisions about things based on what they think. They make decisions on how they feel. And your chances of reaching them on these levels that are deeper than the intellectual, that rests largely on your ability to tell good stories and to inspire them to visualize good outcomes. And, you know, that's hard to do. Putting yourself out there in front of a live audience, you know, clicker in hand, gallons of adrenaline coursing through your body. Okay, now be poised, be articulate, and don't forget to look them in the eye. You know,
and say this and say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These are hard things to do. And so, you know, however you might define the major changes in our industry since 2003, you know, the onset of animation, popularity of stock photos, Morph, COVID, now virtual, using Zoom, you know, however you define it, that one thing has remained a constant. Can you be a good storyteller when your body is out of control and your brain is yelling, run away as fast as you can? It was that way in 2003, and it is that way today in 23.
So you've got, you know, over the years, you've got some competition, you've got, you know, changes, obviously, in working and attendance and all that kind of stuff. This is the question I always ask, you know, how have you stayed relevant? How have you sort of dealt with, you know, the changing seas and what changes have you made sort of actively over those years to sort of respond to that? All that
yeah. I do want to talk about community and how precious of a commodity that is. But let me stay on the content level for just a bit longer, because our ability to teach presentation skills across two decades, it is pretty remarkable. And I'm not just patting myself on the back here. This is all because of the exceptional talent of our presenting team, present company included. But, you know, and there's some black magic to all of this. You know, we need to be right on the edge of the curve of change while still offering these bedrock principles that are just 100% timeless. And this gave me a good laugh the other day when I realized, so at this year's conference, I'm going to be discussing Microsoft Cameo, mm-hmm. ChatGPT, and hyperlinks and triggers. And I just found video of myself giving that talk in 2004, our second year, hyperlinks and triggers. I had all this hair back then, and I wore a button-down shirt and a tie. It looked really weird. But there I was telling folks about how you can click a little rectangle, and up will pop a menu of topics that are neatly tucked away until you might want to call upon them. And those hyperlinks can take you to other slides in your deck or to different slide decks altogether. And as sure as I'm sitting here, there are going to be people in my audience next month going, wow, I had no idea that you could do that. As sure as we are all sitting here, there are people listening to this podcast right now saying, I didn't know you could work a deck that way. So, you know, this represents a unique challenge, staying current and staying at the same time true to these fundamental practices. And I kind of think that we do that better than just about anyone hosting learning events today.
I think you do. I mean, I think you gave a couple examples right there. But over the years, I think people learned about Canva. People learned about Prezi. Or at mm-hmm. least, you know, got, you know, over the years, you know, we did stuff on Keynote, mm-hmm. you know, early on. I think you do always, I mean, you, it was, I, you know, when ChatGPT launched to the public, what was it, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever it was?
March.
Yeah. You like, Rick, you almost immediately sent me an email saying, all right, you know, what about a session, you know, on this in presentation?
Yeah.
You know, we talked a little bit about that. I think I'm glad you're doing it. Yeah, I mean, you're always. Yeah,
yikes.
I mean,
I think
that's great, and you've had Microsoft in as well, obviously, you know, over the years, and they've introduced, you know, new things and talked about new features and stuff. So, it's nice. I mean, it is, you know, what's happening. You know, what's the new stuff out there? It's not just you haven't been doing triggers and hyperlinks for 20 years only. Let's just put it that way.
Well, speaking of. Technology and transitions and change. Rick, tell us about this year, this hybrid, kind of like post-hybrid event, and the Presentation Summit is the most flexible event going because it just keeps morphing itself each year. Tell us how things are going to work this year.
Yes, we are post hybrid. Hybrid is just so yesterday, guys. Well, thanks to you, Troy, and to your team at TLC Creative. I think we had two incredibly successful years as a hybrid event. And when you have this entire secondary audience of people who were never able to travel to a venue, and they now consider themselves loyal patrons. So I'm really quite grateful for that. But I have to say, hybrid, I like to say that hybrid is the four X's of conference hosting. It is exciting, exhilarating, exasperating, and exorbitant. Oh. Okay, exhausting. Good. That's the fifth one.
Five X's.
I like that. The five X's. It does not scale down well for small events like ours. And as a conference that has prided itself on engagement and community building, it just introduced too many compromises that I just could no longer accept. It is going to be easier, certainly less expensive, and ultimately, I predict more fulfilling for our attendees and for me to hold two separate events. And so that is what we're going to do this fall, October 15 to 18 in Monterey. And yes, as you said, right on the beautiful Northern California coastline. And then 3 weeks later, November 5 to 8, inside brand new software by Zoom.
Well, I got to say something because, you know, I live in the virtual world. It's literally become 50% of my life now is putting on virtual conferences. You know,
same.
we're an event destination. You know, production companies bring us, but I have not used the new Zoom. It's not called Zoom Webinar. What or is it?
It's called Zoom Events.
Zoom Events. And yeah. I know it has a lot of features. So the unfortunate thing is I'm going to be out of the country. So time zones are going to be a challenge, but I'm very, I've got to log in just to experience it because it's not my world. We don't do Zoom. We do, you know, a dedicated platform, but I'm very excited to see how this goes over. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I haven't actually experienced this. So Rick, I'm going to do something new, even in my own field with the Presentation Summit.
Zoom, that's terrific. Music to my ears.
Rick, what are the highlights on Zoom events? Because I haven't used it either.
So there's really two things. Zoom events it gives you more of the conference paradigm. You're going to get a lobby. We don't have to worry about URLs out to different particular Zoom webinars. It's all integrated. So you're just going to see the schedule. You're going to click. The lobby can show you previews of the concurrent seminars going on. And then when you are actually in the webinar, it's going to feel like tried and true Zoom. And that actually addresses a complaint that our presenters had when we were using things that were more sophisticated before, like StreamYard inside Vimeo, where our presenters felt a bit isolated, as you would if you were a broadcaster. And really, that's what that was. We were broadcasting. And they said, well, I want to feel the audience more. And so now we can do that. You know, we can do gallery view and all of that. But in addition, and I don't yet know if this is going to be ready, is Zoom's production studio, which is going to feel similar to the way we used the software the last 2 years, where you can create layouts, move between them quickly. So instead of just the boring screen share with you as a little postage stamp on top of that, now you can have layouts where your screen, you are side by side with your screen, or it's only screen, or only you, or two presenters at once, all of that.
This is two distinct events. It's not people zooming into the of event when everybody's up in Monterey. Monterey is its own little bubble. And then a couple of weeks later, you have another bubble of and of live presentations, correct?
That's right.
So it's a whole nother event of, it's like a repeat encore performance for a whole other group.
I badgered, cajoled, and guilted all of my presenters to come back 3 weeks later and do it all over again. Yes. Now,
I know my session, at least one of my sessions, is going to be a little tougher remote, but I guess I'm up for the challenge. And is there, just on that?
Yeah, Nolan, how are you going to do audience juggling? How are you going to teach them to
I
juggle?
I have every confidence.
I'm sure we'll get into my sessions. But are they really identical in terms of content at this point?
It is almost nearly 100%. Yes, our discussion groups will take place in both venues. Certain things that our virtual MC will only do in virtual, but all of the seminars and keynotes, yes. It's possible that one of my keynote speakers will not be available for virtual. We will record her keynote in Monterey just in case. But at the moment, I'm expecting everything is going to be live.
Cool. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to, you know, being in person again. I mean, we've done that the last few years, but also, again, not having that, you know, at times anxiety about, am I including everybody at home? Am I standing in the right spot?
Exactly. All of that. We had to work really hard at that, and we did a great job, but it was trying, and it was ultimately compromising, I believe.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the in-person, you always get just by nature, you get the hanging out at midnight, you get the, you know, dinners, you get the business roundtable. I don't think we're doing that remotely, are we?
We haven't. We could talk.
Things are evolving right now, folks. This is the wheels turning.
We're figuring out. Oh, all right. Just cut that out.
No way. I'm going to see where this one lands.
But no, definitely, you know, in person, there's so much just hanging out and networking
I completely agree. There is no substitute for people meeting face to face. And I'm going to hold that opinion for however many decades I have left on this earth. You know, the magic happens when people with shared goals and pursuits meet for the first time, and they discover connections and they become friends. And when you do that in what I'm really going to call an artificial environment of a retreat or a conference where we're away from all of our day-to-day concerns and issues and everything, it is really just very, very compelling. It's practically intoxicating. And then
there's alcohol.
When you introduce a little bit of actual intoxicants, then it really does become a special experience. Well, yeah.
Speaking of the refreshments, and you said retreat, because I think this venue is a little different than years past.
That's
can you
right.
just give us a little, I've never been there, but can you give us just a little rundown of the place in Monterey and what this is?
Yeah, it's called a conference center. They may even use the word retreat themselves. We will be staying in, I don't want to quite call them bungalows. They're perfectly comfortable rooms. Maybe austere is the word for it. In low-lying buildings, our ballrooms are not in some big conference center where you got to take elevators all over the place. They're just, again, single-story rooms. Our ballrooms are going to be surrounded by our sleeping rooms, and there's an outdoor courtyard. So like you'll come out of your room and you'll be in the courtyard, and our ballroom will be right there. So it's just going to feel very different. And we're all just about a quarter of a mile from the beach. There's all these walking trails, beautiful eucalyptus trees. And October in Monterey is just some of the best weather you could ever hope for. So I'm optimistic that we're going to have a very different experience. We will provide all the same in very high levels of instruction in a different environment.
Cool.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. As an attendee, 100% as an attendee this year, I am going to enjoy as much as the indoors with the event and everything, as well as the outdoors. And speaking of what I get to see and experience, the keynote lineup is amazing. Talk about it. I mean, I'm partial to one of them in particular, Mr. Hames, but I'd love our listeners to hear more.
Yeah, so I'm excited too, and indeed the man of many talents will uncover a few that people didn't know about, so I was thinking about you, Nolan, when I was in Africa. You're like the giraffes or the impalas that we encountered there.
Okay, go on. I don't know where this is going.
Well,
I'm so tall.
Tall, so, it could leap huge bounds, Nolan. Yes. You're there.
He runs like an impala.
Impala are the prey out there. Anyway, go on.
Well, you know, so yeah, we came back from this magnificent trip to Africa. And the wildlife there, you know, they just leverage the skills that they were born with or that they learned in order to survive. And so Nolan has done this. He's leveraged the skills that he's cultivated since childhood, ones that obviously came naturally to him, and he has used them to great success in the presentation space. And I think that's all I'm going to say about your keynote. But that's the way I think about it. Yeah, you're like the giraffes that we saw.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but what about the others? Tell us about everybody else.
So he's joined by one of our absolute favorites who's returning triumphantly, I should say, post-COVID, the brilliant Carmen Simon, the neuroscientist. She's making her debut, Dr. Temple Grandin, perhaps one of the biggest names we have ever attracted at this conference, the renowned behavioralist. The best commercial I can offer for this year's conference is to suggest that you watch the HBO special, simply called Temple Grandin,
and it's amazing to
learn about her incredible life. Mm-hmm. Stars Claire Danes, it's absolutely spellbinding, and she will be with us in Monterey. We're going to do a special Sunday evening dinner keynote for her. So we feel really privileged.
Yeah, it's really nice to be on that that bill with Temple Grandin and with Carmen.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's a nice lineup.
Hey, Nolan, really quick, only because I don't know the answer, or Rick, maybe I should be asking you, senior insurer, which day is Nolan doing his keynote on?
Yeah, which day am I doing?
you know, and I you're the one who might change days from in-person to virtual.
Well, can I put in a plea? Because
I think you're Wednesday.
Oh, Nolan.
I think you're Wednesday in person.
I mean, that's fantastic.
I'm
selfishly was hoping that... that, you know, cause I'm literally there Sunday and Monday only. I am so, it's such a horrible year, for this, the dates on this one, that I am literally zipping in, enjoying as much time as I can and leaving at like 3 a.m. on Tuesday to get back out to the meeting I'm supposed to be at. And that we were contracted.
Yeah.
To run.
So no problem, Troy. We'll bump Temple Grandin for Nolan for Sunday night.
Okay. It's kind of a personal thing.
Nolan, I'll give you a private command performance. We won't go too far into it, but yeah, I'm giving Rick is letting me back on the keynote stage after like 10 years. I did one keynote many years ago, but I talked him into letting me.
It was really good too. Star Wars and stuff. I remember
Simplicity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I don't think I'm including Star Wars this time, but I'm going to be talking about a lot of my other childhood activities when I wasn't watching Star Wars, which was being a professional magician.
Mm-hmm.
And how that everything I learned.
I wasn't going to tell everybody, but all right.
Seeing well, how, it's yeah. It's on yeah. the website. It's
okay. You're right.
and how that. So I've been working on and how that's affected. You know what I've learned from that in terms of presentation. So so I've been working on it. Have been working on it hard, mm-hmm. Rick, and putting it together. And I think it's going to be a very personal presentation. Obviously, so yeah,
excellent.
You'll learn lots and lots about me. I think. So those are the keynotes. Those are the three keynotes each day. You know, there's one big keynote, but then you've got, I don't know, dozens and dozens. I don't know exactly how many other breakout sessions. And those, you know, that's really where, you know, the nitty gritty happens, where people, you know, discover, you know, amazing things and how to work better and run their businesses better. So you want to give us some examples of seminar content for this year?
Well, you're right. It's the bread and butter of our conference. And as like I said, you know, we try to walk that line where we are on the cutting edge while at the same time offering just the bedrock principles of our industry, because while we have incredible loyalty, we have people that have attended almost every year, we are at the same time about 50% first timers every year.
Including this year.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And yes, I mean, we will be looking at all these new things that are coming, how AI is going to influence, I think, profoundly the way that we create presentation content. And you can just never show morph and animation enough times. And indeed, I'm going to introduce Cameo while we also have, we'll be looking into accessibility of seminars. Julie Turberg, of course, will give her makeovers. This year, Steffi Hogan is going to do makeovers around accessibility. Nolan, what are you doing? Refresh my memory.
I think charting, going beyond
once again,
standout.
There it is, bedrock. We can never do charting enough. Yeah.
Well, to really bring this, to really solidify this concept, you know, can you give us some examples of not only what these topics are, but why? I mean, you have recurring seminar topics. They have been around for probably the duration of the event. You know, there are fundamentals of design, like animation, because you mentioned morph, and then there's fundamentals of how to present. I mean, you do these. So what are some topics that are just kind of like recurring? They're fundamentals. And then you got the exciting new features and concepts every year as well. So what's the rationale on that? Is it to attract new people, keep interest for the returning people? Give us some thoughts.
Well, yeah, you could make the argument that the rationale is to continue to turn my hair gray, because it is exceptionally challenging when you have these two totally disparate needs. So the rationale is to try to, we can't be all things to all people. We have to be some really good things to all people.
That might be the new tagline.
Too mediocre. I can do better.
I thought you were going to go down the path of why are there recurring themes? And I was going to go, I visit Reddit often, and the questions are always the basic fundamental things.
Mm-hmm.
Always. You know, how do I build this diagram? How can I make this look better? How can I animate this chart? It's mm-hmm. it's all of that basic stuff. So
yeah,
amazing job, Rick, of balancing, keeping up with where the industry is evolving and sticking to those recurring fundamental topics.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the sentiment very much. This stuff is hard, you know. Even before you add virtual to the mix, you know, people don't learn about storytelling at school. Very few of us have backgrounds in graphic design. We all suck at PowerPoint, and we're scared to death to speak in public. So yeah, this stuff is really hard. And then you add virtual to the mix of all of that also. It's just a really fun big old soup with a lot of different ingredients. You know, we try to leverage all of the sense of community. But you know, COVID has taught us that there's more to that story of just building community in person, you know, having immediate access to an audience that's distributed across 6 continents, we're still working on Antarctica, that's really compelling. And I think that we take advantage of the fact that people's expectation for engagement on virtual is really very low. And I think we surprise the crap out of them. You know, all of the energy that I pour out in person, I try to bring that to the virtual experience, and I do not succeed. But I think I get closer than most people expect. And our virtual MC, he is just a living, breathing dynamo. And this year, we're going to get to team up. Because again, when we were doing hybrid, you know, I would have a few fleeting moments when I was able to connect from the conference venue. But now, three solid days, we're going to be able to team up. I think it's going to be epic.
So Rick, an end on this conversation about seminar topics, skill level of that, you know, you bring to the conference that you gather. I've got a total side tangent conversation. This just happened yesterday with a client. I will not be saying whom, but this is the director of a very large, I'm going to say that 80%+ of the people listening to this have touched their online gaming. So this is like, you know, somebody that does their whole thing is, you know, games are stories and this and that. But anyways, so we're doing a major presentation makeover for this company, and I'm very excited. I'm working on it, and I'm doing all this great stuff. We had a review meeting just yesterday. I'm going somewhere with this, Rick. Stay with me.
I'm with you.
Had a review meeting, and literally, like, no, we can't do that. No, that's too fancy. No, we can't do that. I'm like, oh, okay. And I keep stripping back. He goes, okay, now, Troy, listen. I don't want to be harsh, not to you, but to my people. I can't have any of that. And one of the examples was I had these, you know, these call out bars, and they're a little, I put a gradient on the far edge of them. There's a left edge and a right edge version. So it had a little color spec from their branding. And then it went into like a dark gray, you know, with the white on top of it. So they would work over top of photos and other content. It was a really great effect. He's like, I can't have that because my people have to reuse these slides. And they're going to mess it up. You know what you're doing. I take way too long to figure it out. But he's like, that gradient example, somebody's going to stretch it, ruin it, put it on the wrong side or something. He didn't say people were idiots, but he basically said, how do you get people to learn about this stuff? Because I don't have time for them to mess up my slides. It's like, oh, you know, it's pretty funny. There's an event that we could send everybody to.
What a coincidence.
You literally came up in conversation. But this guy was adamant that everything had to be so crisp and simple because he didn't have time for the people that don't know how to do the formatting. So, hey, maybe we should put a call out to all the corporate America. Like, there are some skill sets that your literally directors of departments or whole divisions say you're missing. I don't know where that goes for you, but it was a pretty enlightening conversation. And what I did mention the your conference.
I appreciate that. It reminds me of the CEO at a company that I consult with who once proclaimed almost proudly, we will never use animation in any of our company presentations. Because, you know, somebody did the boomerangs and the spirals and the screeching breaks, and it was obnoxious and it was very annoying. And so, you know, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. The tool that might be the most valuable one for better storytelling, and he is proclaiming that he is forbidding its use. So, yes. Yeah,
those aren't animations. Those are distractions when used wrong.
Exactly.
It's a learning curve in and of itself. Total tangent, but it just literally was very timely. Less than 24 hours ago conversation about, you know, how do you learn these things? Well, there's the answer. Okay, going on.
Okay, well, since my very first event, the highlight of every year has been, I mean, there's so much amazing content, don't get me wrong, but people, the 50% that come back every year, love the PowerPoint trivia contest.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Yeah. And I'm really curious about if and can that be carried forward on the virtual.
Yeah, the trivia contest. And I do have that photo of you, Sandy, competing in that very first year. I love it.
You know, I competed my first year. And Sandy was probably a judge then, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, probably by that time.
Well, it's ironic. I'm just realizing I actually did the trivia contest my very first year when it was in Tucson.
Right.
But nobody knew. I knew nobody and this and that. And I was like, well, this would be a good way to at least meet somebody.
So are we going to have like a Jeopardy Masters tournament?
I've got a photo of you also, Troy, from that first year. So, you know, the trivia, it's just silly and stupid, you know.
Silly rarely, and amazing.
I'll accept that. Rarely is total nonsense so relevant and vital to a group experience. You know, it's just a time for people to be in a shared space, in person or virtual, and just truly enjoy each other's company while watching or participating in a silly, stupid, sweet, wonderful ritual of teamwork. As you know, as I mentioned at the outset, the learning comes first. People come for the learning, but they come back for the community and the networking and the relationship building and the silly and stupid that just does not happen with some large faceless trade show, but it happens at our conference.
Well, okay, but let's break this down a little bit more. I mean, this goes beyond just a trivia contest, and this is not something stock off the shelf. This is the Rick Altman special, and it really hasn't evolved. It's gotten better and better, but it's like this mashup of every popular game show game. You know, give a couple of examples.
Yeah, we steal like crazy. So yes, it is. It's pretty unique. It's all done inside PowerPoint, first of all, using techniques that we teach during the 3 days at the conference, and we steal liberally from everybody. We have done Name That Tune. We've done the Match Game. We've done Survivor, where you can throw somebody off the island. Let's see what else.
We
steal from everybody, but I will say it has had to evolve because during our hybrid years, we needed to engage both audiences at the same time. And that was a whole new set of challenges for us. I'm going to look forward to not having to do that this year. Of course, there will be a trivia contest on the virtual side.
Oh, fantastic.
But it's the blending of those two audiences that was really challenging for us. We can go back to, so during that, it was silly, sweet, stupid, and highly sophisticated. Now we can go back to just being silly, sweet, and stupid for each of our audiences.
I love it. It's a great break. It's a great break.
Yeah.
Oh, one change though. We're going to do it after dinner this year. So we'll all go to, because we're all dining together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're like back at the college dorms. We're going to be dining together in a dining commons, and then we will return to our ballrooms. We'll do the trivia contest, and then that'll run right into the guru session on Monday. You know, the stuff that we always do. It's going to feel different, and I want that to be a good thing.
That's great. Can we continue on the fun thing? You'd mentioned something earlier, Rick, and I want to come back to it. Your trip to Africa. Seriously, I know this. I don't want to, first of all, I should ask everyone, can I talk about this now and maybe hone in on the end? Do you want to cover anything else?
I think I'm looking forward to hearing about Africa because I saw so many amazing photos.
Please.
I mean, I already know Nolan's a giraffe.
Wasn't it a gazelle?
I'm an impala.
Impala, yeah.
Sandy, what are you?
1970s.
What are our spirit animals? It was magnificent, Sandy. It was number one on our bucket lists, Becky's and mine. We are now big fans of Overseas Adventure Travel, the tour company that we chose, as they took us way out into the bush to watch animals in their natural habitats. And we were also introduced to the culture and how people live their lives. Mm. Zimbabwe and Botswana. You know, a local family might earn $5 a week there, but you would never call them poor or impoverished. Their lives were just so rich in tradition. Their needs were generally met, and their souls were just 100% fulfilled. It was truly inspirational. And to be honest, it was also informative for how I can be a better conference host. So, you know, at first it was kind of jarring to see a pride of lions feasting on a buffalo or several dozen crocodiles swarming a dead hippo. But then you just come to appreciate that this is the natural order of things. These animals, they're not good or bad because they are predators or because they're prey. They are what they are. This is just what they do. And now, presentation is not quite that simple. We have to develop second nature, and we have to practice a set of skills that might not be natural. But the goal is to find our most genuine selves. And that really merits introspection. It involves, you know, discovering what we naturally do well and leveraging that. All the animals that we saw exhibited that. They learned to survive. This is what I was saying about Nolan. They learned to survive based on the skills that they have. Do you guys know that elephants are excellent swimmers? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. They have strong legs, their ears act like fins, and their trunk functions like a snorkel. They can swim dozens of miles, and they often have to in order to migrate and deal with floods and monsoons and things. We saw a family of elephants crossing this small river. We had this front row seat while the baby elephant was being pushed by the dad, and they were all swimming. Mm-hmm. And it was just remarkable. And we can learn a lot from the natural order of things.
Were you allowed to keep up the presentation summit tradition of jumping into the pool and go join the elephant?
No, I was not. I was not.
I did a safari a few years ago. And Rick, and I talked about it before they made their plans. And Rick, I think you'd agree. I think one of the things I said was that every day is better than the previous one, in that the first day you see some amazing things, your zebras and everything. And, you know, the next day you see elephants and you see
lions
and everything. And then the third day you see even more. And then you're like, oh, zebras, whatever. Like giraffes, whatever. Like lions, seen it. And that's everybody's experience is that. It's just every day is just better than the next. And so I would highly encourage everyone.
I'm very jealous then of both of you. Jealous of both of you. It's our dream. Jeff and I, we want to get to Malawi someday. I happen to sponsor building classrooms for kids in Malawi. And every so often, trips are planned to visit the classrooms and to go on safari. I guess they make it pretty comfortable for everybody. Wow. The photos were amazing. I would go on Facebook just to see your photos. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, to wrap up this, Rick, you just did this great, amazing international experience, maybe a little bit closer to home, like at your home. You did some landscaping as well. How did that come about?
Yeah, because, you know,
because you're not busy enough.
You know, yeah, exactly. Our life wasn't busy enough. So we decided to remove our pool, our swimming pool. And the first thing you learn about that is that you can't exactly sell it like most commodities, and you cannot even give it away to a friend. I had a friend who was building a swimming pool, and it was extraordinarily frustrating for us. Well, can't you just have mine?
That's hilarious.
But so, yes, no, we filled in our swimming pool, and we have a beautiful lawn now and a little fountain.
Aww.
Kind of makes sense. There's a lot of plumbing out there. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, Rick added a soccer field to his backyard.
A soccer field? Hardly.
That's a wrap on another fantastic presentation conversation. Thank you, Rick, for spending some time with us. And we hope to see, well, many people in just under a month from now up in Monterey, California for the 2023 Presentation Summit, or perhaps on Zoom for the virtual edition in November. Quick question, Rick, don't want to put you on the spot. Do you have a few minutes to join us for Pro and Tech Tips?
Let's do it.
Great. Here we go. Okay, Pro and Tech Tips. I am on this I'm on this travel binge where suddenly every project, I promised that I would not be doing as much project travel, and suddenly I'm back-to-back travel. And so I've got a great little tip. It is very little. It is very inexpensive, but it is very important. It's about your bag safety, specifically in my case, my computer bag, you know, my backpack I carry a lot of my equipment in. A small carabiner is going to be your friend. And the reason I'm bringing this up is somebody else sitting out at lunch at an outdoor venue, you know, eating al fresco, they went back to the meeting and they found that half their belongings were gone from the bag. The bag was still there. And it's because somebody came along and unzipped it and just grabbed it out of there. So small carabiner, I'll put a link to an Amazon link. I'll put an Amazon link to just an example, but just little D-shaped carabiners to hold the two zippers together. Basically, make it an effort to get your bag open. Hey, you know what my bonus tip is? And I've been doing this for years. I have small zip ties of a bright color. I zip tie together the zippers on my luggage before I put it into, turn it over to the airline. And TSA approves them. But that way, if it's cut, I can always tell if I need to inspect my bag because I have these bright. So I've been doing that for years. But yeah, the small carabiner, it's just an unfortunate thing that needs to happen. So there, my tip is more of a travel tip. Sandy, what do you got?
I have a new microphone.
Ooh, you sound amazing.
Oh, great, great. Troy, you might have mentioned this. I don't know if it was one of your tips in the past, but the HyperX SoloCast
is a great microphone.
It's a cute little inexpensive microphone, USB condenser gaming microphone, but it's great for podcasts. they recommended it as Android. The
USB-C one, correct? It's just got USB-C, so it's not the XLR adapter. Yeah,
but exactly. It's so basic, you can't even. There are no buttons on it. Oh, except for the mute button that's a tap to mute on the top. Anyway, I highly recommend it. I love the simplicity of it, and hopefully you love the sound.
I have my tip is an ad for, and it came out a couple months ago during the World Cup. It is for the French national team. They're called the Blues, and the ad was from Orange, which is a telecom company there. I can't tell you any more than that, because if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil the ad for you. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it is maybe the best sports ad I've ever seen in my life. One of the best ads, period. Hmm. It's just a couple minutes. It's for, again, the French. If you just Google World Cup ad Orange or French team, you'll find it easily. It is, I will say it makes use of AI or CGI, but it is astonishing. It is one of the best commercials. So do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen it, go Google it, go find it. We'll put a link in the notes as well. But that's my tip for today.
Okay. Fun. I'm doing everything I can to not go click
on
it. That's a huge lead up. Wow. Rick, what do you got for us?
Okay. So my tip is the camera that I brought to Africa for sure. I was going to use this trip as an excuse to purchase some new SLR and get a killer lens. But $5,000 later, 8 or 9 pounds later, and perhaps most important, because we had to pack 3 weeks into a duffel bag, 12 inches of lens later, I realized that just wasn't happening. So instead, I found the Canon SX70. It's a compact camera that weighs in at under 2 pounds. It's 1.8 pounds. It has a 65x optical zoom. That's equivalent to 1,365 millimeters of optical zoom. It was incredible how close I could get to the animals and how often I found stuff in distant trees that nobody else in the Jeep could see. It was a true game changer for me, and it was under $500. You know, I'm not a professional photographer, but I was taking pictures that just everybody went, whoa. Yeah. I never saw that at all.
Wow.
Yeah,
I will put an Amazon link because I just found it. It says it's a 65 time optical zoom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
We have lived by Canons for a long time. And you know what's funny is, well, it's not funny. You know, we have a huge rig, several lenses, and they just keep getting better. I mean, literally what you can buy now is the equivalent of thousands of dollars, and the quality and the sensors and this thing's mean just to see, it's a 20 megapixel with a 65 time optical zoom that's not like a foot long.
And it offers clean HDMI, so you could put it in your studio too.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, professional presentation design studio. Check us out at tlccreative.com. bxpmeeting.com is our virtual meeting platform for online meetings and kind of attendee registration experience. And the PowerPoint blog, where I'm keeping busy. I've got a whole list of stuff, so having fun there. Thanks for joining us today.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out nolanhamescreative.com to learn more about our presentation and data viz training. You can get some free downloads from our goodie page there as well. And if you want to design slides without bullet points, check out thebetterdeckdeck.com, where you can get the actual deck of cards, the PDF version, even the PowerPoint source files, and you can always use the code PODCAST to get a discount on any order.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz. I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter /X as at PPTWiz. And don't forget to visit the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org.
This is Rick Altman, the grateful host of the Presentation Summit, inviting you to join us this fall as a roomie or a zoomie. October 15 to 18 in Monterey, California, and November 5 to 8 on virtual presentationsummit.com for all of the details, including email buttons that will take any questions you have right into my inbox. And you can find us on all the social media channels as well.
Thank you for joining the Presentation Podcast for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.